Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Don't we know him? Wasn't he a TaylorMade for years? Am I wrong about this? You're looking at me.
I don't remember Michael Valenzuela. But
well, that's probably the problem.
Who's we?
Maybe I'm having the name wrong.
Got a turd in your pocket?
Because he did the rocket ball driver. He got me a rocket ball.
So just go get one. It's $500.
I understand that. That's not the point.
Just the one.
It's not the point. Why did Wilbon get that?
I don't know.
Why did he get that?
So you didn't do PTI after that, right?
I did it. Well, I mean, I swallowed my pride.
With that kind of slap in the face?
I swallowed my pride and I did the show.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
All righty then. Plausibly live and from an as-yet undisclosed location. On the third floor in Chevy Chase, Maryland. We're on the air with
Soon
Chris
to
Saliza.
Be disclosed, maybe 4 to 6 weeks?
Yes.
Well, disclose the location?
Eight weeks.
8 weeks, disclosed. Okay.
Chris Saliza, Gary Braun, Michael Kornheiser, Nigel's going to run the board. Wilbon will join us in a little while. I'm going to talk about this with Wilbon. And I don't...
The
I don't
M1
think,
driver?
No. I'm not going to mention
Did
that.
You get a driver?
No. I got nothing. Still. I want the M1 driver.
We know that. That much has been made clear.
And in any case.
He's an Uber driver. Get him something.
Life without football. My life stinks. You don't have football anymore. You don't have the NFL. You don't have college football. You are bereft. You know, I was very sick over the weekend. I'm still sick, but not very sick. And I just lay down in bed, and I had a million things to watch and didn't care about any of them. I watched the Pebble Beach tournament for a million hours. Because I couldn't interest myself in any of the college basketball or any of the pro basketball. I don't care about it. It's too early in the season. The NBA, if they actually cared about their viewers, would never have their All-Star game when they're going to have it. When they have the entire sports calendar to themselves, they take a week off because Adam Silver is as pro player as Roger Goodell is pro owner. And Adam Silver is doing the country no service by allowing all of these players to be off for a full week. It's just, there's nothing. February and July are dead months in the sports calendar. February is the single deadest month. And you can say, well, there's a lot of college basketball. It doesn't matter. The pro basketball, the college basketball doesn't matter. You're just looking towards the tournament in terms of college basketball. You have games like Gonzaga against St. Mary's. Gonzaga's not going to lose that game. None of this stuff matters. Am I alone in this?
Am I alone?
I may be alone.
Well, I still have a rooting
Sally,
interest.
Sally, Jesse, Raphael.
Yes.
I wouldn't have.
No.
I didn't see that coming.
No.
Okay.
I have a rooting interest in a college basketball program, which gives me a few things to watch every week, no matter how painful it is. And then I would also.
Nice win by the Hoyas this week.
Boom. Best win of the year.
Are they going to get in the NCAAs?
They're 13-12 with an RPI in the 60s, but I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think they're good enough. But and I also think I am much more drawn, even though you're right that I think most of the players, it's a real drag at this point, but I am more drawn to the NBA than you are. And I will say, despite the fact that it was a total blowout, I watched that Oklahoma City
I understand that.
Only because that's an intriguing
There's
matchup,
drama
though.
In that.
Yeah.
There's
well, I'm just
Westbrook
over
and
the weekend, that's what
would you,
I consume.
Would you have watched Milwaukee-Charlotte?
Negative.
I might have because of Giannis, but in general, you're right. That is a storyline that is not present in every NBA game.
I might watch the Knicks.
Can I just interrupt myself
happens.
Just
Knicks
to
beat
say
the Spurs last night.
We were watching, apparently the Today Show is going to have all the old talk show, confrontational talk show hosts on. Because I think Maury's going to be on this week.
Oh,
And Sally Jesse Raphael started out today, and she just looked a lot different. That's all I'm saying.
Just leave it at that.
No, yeah. I think I'm more with you than Chris. I'm football first.
Yeah.
I felt it. I wanted to see that basketball game and watched it while it was interesting for about 5 minutes.
It's just
well, there's
it was over.
The, yeah.
But Russell Westbrook,
enough of your anger.
No,
enough of your anger.
Totally disagree with you about Westbrook.
Yeah, that's compelling
he,
TV.
He cares.
I mean. Yeah.
Like,
he plays for me.
He cares.
He made the wrong. He is the reason Kevin Durant left.
Sure, but
that's
nobody
okay.
wants to play with him.
But wouldn't you rather? I believe, knowing you, that you like people like this who bear grudges.
No, I do.
Who?
No,
I mean, I like everything about him.
But he's on the wrong horse on this one. He's on the wrong horse.
Yeah, but I just like that he doesn't. he doesn't act as though they're all best friends trying that, you know, like that, like, okay. Well, yeah, sure, we play a game, but like he takes it seriously, takes things personally in a way that, yes, he is somewhat sociopathic,
yeah,
but is hugely entertaining to watch.
Yes, without question.
I mean,
but Kevin Durant left because Kevin Durant knew that playing with Russell Westbrook in Russell Westbrook's contract year would mean I will never touch the ball.
It's going to take 100 shots.
I will never touch the ball.
Well, that's fine.
And I can go play with Klay Thompson and Steph Curry and Draymond Green and touch the ball a lot. Why wouldn't
Cherry
I do
pick
that?
A title.
And win, yeah.
Yeah, well, Russell Westbrook should have been smart enough to see that coming, except they wouldn't have wanted him. They would not have wanted him.
I thought it was very telling when he was in his face saying, I'm coming for you.
What
I'm
does that mean?
For you.
They lost by 80.
Well, Durant said something like, you're losing. Like, it was the perfect encapsulation of both of them. Durant, like, ultimate pragmatist Loki, and Westbrook.
Two words.
Westbrook just all over the place. Like, you know, of course, giving ESPN and viewers exactly what they wanted.
Sure.
But
high-rated game. Sure, absolutely. I'm just saying that without football, without the weekly dosage of football, I'm lost for about a month.
You can catch up on movies and stuff. You got a few weeks.
Lost for about a month.
Well, there was football.
Have you seen Manchester
English
by the sea?
Premier League?
Yeah, I don't know.
EPL.
Okay, so let me get
Manchester
to
City.
Let me get to something that held my attention briefly for about an hour and a half, including the red carpet, where I did watch the red carpet. The red carpet shows are something that always reminds you of the worst in the culture, the absolute worst, the fawning, the sycophantic behavior, the making of something grand out of something absolutely worthless. That's what a red carpet show does, which is always entertaining. And then the Grammys. James Corden is the host. And it was a funny bit at the beginning where the riser didn't go all the way up. He had to climb out. He fell down. I thought that was a fun – I thought he did a – you know.
Chevy Chase-like physical comedy there.
Yeah, I thought
he did that pretty well.
Yeah, I thought it was okay. Yeah. And then I watched – and I've said this before, and the older I get, the more pronounced this feeling is – that this show, which used to be that thing which kept me anchored to the culture that I lived in, I am untethered. I am out in space like George Clooney. I'm just
floating.
I'm floating around. I don't have any idea. I don't know The Weeknd and Daft Punk. I don't know who they are. What they do
looks like Ezekiel Elliott
is meaningless to me.
Yeah,
there's a horrible
like
boy band from Denmark. I don't
it's
know
redundant,
what
Tony.
They're doing. I Chance the Rapper.
Well, Chance the Rapper is great.
I don't care.
He's a 23-year-old from Chicago. I mean, it's not – you're probably not going to – but he
– I don't care.
What's great is that his first album
who
came out
give credit
in
to?
2013.
God.
He talked about God
15,000
– I missed that part.
He did.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm not – I'm so gone on this show. I mean, I shouldn't really
watch
it.
Well, you were all in
anymore.
On Beyonce. You came in raving about the Beyonce performance.
I didn't
you
understand
lasted
it.
About 20 years longer than I did.
Yeah.
Because I watched that show for about 10 minutes last night, and I'm sorry, I'm going to like come across as that guy, okay? I'm not the crustiest guy
what
in this room.
What is this?
I am rarely the crustiest guy in this room. And about 10 minutes in, I said, you know, and my own time... Spike and Ike and Sydney and Kim, they're all watching it.
Yeah,
they all love
it.
And I'm like, if I watch this show, this is only going to result in me hating my family even more. And I retired to the basement and watched Hell or High Water, which I hadn't seen yet. Which was unbelievable.
It's,
I gotta see that.
Best decision I had made in months.
No, it's really good. Really good.
And then I just went upstairs and I read the Grammys. I was like, I can't watch it. I can't. And I'm embarrassed to. I am embarrassed to admit that.
Well, you
I
missed the new Katy Perry, Gary. So.
Yeah. I heard about it.
She had blonde hair.
Read about
Adele is that good.
Adele.
Yes.
And Adele gave all the props in the world to Beyonce, who is that good, though I did not really understand what she was doing up there. That was her performance, whatever it was sort of lost on me. And those are the most mainstream people in the entire show, Adele and Beyonce. I just didn't.
Did you watch Sturgill Simpson? Did you stay up that late?
No,
I love him. He was good.
Is he a country music singer?
Yeah, sort of.
I saw Keith Urban. And
Tribe Called Quest was good too, but that was past probably later.
Keith Urban sang with, what's her name from American Idol?
Carrie Underwood.
Carrie Underwood, who's very pleasant. Very pleasant.
Mainstream.
But
Did you see Maren Morris and Alicia Keys?
Yes.
I thought that was pretty good. I like both of them. Maren Morris is good.
Yeah.
I didn't watch. Did the Wii 5 play?
No. Yes. I don't have, like, when they announce who won.
The Buggles.
Was there anyone old? Like in years, in more recent years.
Neil Diamond.
I'm Neil Diamond,
did
damn
Neil,
it.
Did Neil Diamond perform?
James Corden did. You know how he does the carpool karaoke?
Which is fun.
It so is. Good. So they had, like a, they had like a little car that he was in, like a cardboard, and he went around to Jennifer Lopez, and it was actually really bad because they did Sweet Caroline, and he was like, okay, J-Lo, you take it. And she was like,
which I believe he wrote like, after killing a drifter somewhere in Texas.
They didn't know the words. And then they went to John Legend. I don't think he knew the words.
No, he's talented.
And then Blue Ivy came over.
Blue Ivy
is Jay-Z and Beyonce's daughter.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
But it wasn't as funny because that carpool karaoke bit is good.
Yeah.
But Neil Diamond was there and he came out and did a little bit.
Michael, you're a kid. This is your life. When I was your age, this was the show I wanted to watch more than anything else. And I understood that my parents didn't want to watch it, and they had no concept of what was going on. Did you watch the Grammys?
I watched it on mute, actually.
Oh.
Really?
It's probably good, then.
Adding your own commentary.
Yeah. We tried to TiVo it, and we lost the first 30 minutes, and after that, I couldn't get into it.
Oh, yeah.
You were lost you didn't see
I don't know.
You couldn't. You didn't see the beginning. You don't know what happens later.
I'm happy with my decision.
I left.
Gary, we're going to show you the Beyonce thing. Do you have 2.5 hours to block out at some point later today?
Ike was scratching his head about that. So like, I don't understand. I think she can't really dance anymore because she's pregnant. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, it's over.
I just didn't know any of the people who were winning or even being nominated. I had no sense of these people, what they did and were they any good or not.
Yeah, see, I get too much of that because my kids at
they listen
two
to
boys
all
12
of
and a half and a daughter
they
15 and a half. Yeah,
they
listen to all that and they're all about the 21 Pilots and the Chainsmokers.
Who were the guys that took off their pants?
That's 21 Pilots.
That was interesting.
Yeah. Now Gary's just showing off.
Yes,
it's not an existence I would wish on anyone.
I thought it was interesting, the guys who took off their pants. I thought that was funny.
Did you see Adele screw up and start over?
Did not. Saw it today on a highlight.
It's kind of interesting.
Because she cared about
She's so
George
winning.
Michael.
She's so she winning. Has, everyone roots for her. If
she is positively junior-like with the F-bomb droppage, though.
She loves
does it all
to
the time.
Swear.
That's not her first offense, either.
What about Lady Gaga? I missed her. Was she any good?
It was fine, but the Metallica guys' mics didn't work. Like, legit didn't work.
I mean,
was
that deliberately done so that nobody would have to listen to them?
So it was just not as good as it could have been.
I remember that. I remember, like, 25 years ago when they used to, for the first time, they would bring on the metalheads. And I never liked it. It was nothing that ever appealed to me. And I knew then that I was phasing out.
They always roll out Metallica, though. Metallica has been the one metal band that they play for the last, like, 25 years. Like, there's never been a metal band after that.
And now there's going to be, within a week, there will be the
Whitesnake?
The Country Music Awards.
Right.
They'll be more homogeneous than this is. I guess I also expected, like, more speechifying.
It was billed a little bit. Wasn't it billed like Brady Manning with Beyonce and Adele?
Yeah, I guess. But they're both great.
Yes.
And everybody knows they're both great.
Sure.
And Adele said all the right things, and Beyonce, I guess, would have said all the right things. I would assume would say all the right. They're above it all. They're above the fray.
Yes. Yeah.
They're just, they're
uber wealthy.
Yeah, they're better than the others, right? They're
did you see CeeLo's outfit?
Yes.
Did that interest you at all?
Yes.
Have you seen
how did
thing?
He do that? How
didn't
did he get his head so gold?
If you're not dressed like that for PTI today, I think it's just huge.
Oh, he was like the gold leprechaun? I saw that picture.
That was did you see the...
He looked like a candy wrapper.
They photoshopped him into a bunch of places at Trump Tower.
Yeah, he's all
and
gold.
And he fits right in. It's really remarkable. It's hard to see him sometimes. I love the internet for things like that.
Yeah, so anyway, all right, I gotta stop. Michael Wilbon will join us when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Harry's ad. I spent the weekend on my back, so I didn't use the Harry's razor. Chris has one, and Nigel has one. Michael has one. Gary has one. We like them all, but this was not a weekend for me to do anything except just lay down, and that's what I did. So I have I can't do testimonial on the Harry's razor today.
Wait for the inevitable.
You used it.
Yeah, wait for the inevitable time that death greets us all.
Yeah. Well, I worried that I had pneumonia and that I was not going to make it for the show. But I was asked one question. When I mentioned to someone, I fear I have pneumonia. And the question was, does it feel like there's a brick on your chest? And I said, no. And I was told, well, then you don't have pneumonia. So I felt better about that.
Yeah, that's what the people who want you to think. That.
For decades, one big razor company has relentlessly increased prices and reaped immense profits at the expense of their customers. So Jeff and Andy, two ordinary guys who were fed up with getting ripped off, started Harry's to fix shaving. Harry's knew there was only one way to ensure quality, so they bought their own factory. And by taking less profit and selling directly to you over the internet, Harry's offers their blades at half the price. It's just $2 a blade compared to the $4 or more you will pay at the drugstore. Harry's razors include everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. There's a weighted ergonomic handle. Mine is orange. There are five precision-engineered blades with a lubricating strip and a trimmer blade. There's a rich lathering shave gel that smells very good. There's a travel blade cover. Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades that they want you to try their shave set for free. You heard right. You just cover shipping when you sign up, and they send you the set for free. Plus, as a special offer to fans of this podcast, if you go to harrys.com right now, that's harrys.com right now. If you enter the code TONYK at checkout, you will receive a post-shave bomb, B-A-L-M. That's also free. That is harrys.com, and the code is TONYK.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Sun's going down behind my back. This is Jim Townsend. The band is Cousin Eddie from Girard, Kansas, a group of friends that wrote and recorded two albums worth of original music after they turned 40. I hope you enjoy the song. I'll send more. I've been a Laura Little for many years. I enjoy the podcast daily. I first saw you, Tony, on the early episodes of the Sports Reporters and began to read your columns and books. My name's submission for Chad's. Well, since none of your cohorts seemed to like business class, I thought steerage might work. This music is good. All music is good. I have an idea from Bill Isaacson about music. Just remind me later to say so. Michael Wilbon joins us now, and I can sense he's not going to agree with the first thing I'm going to say. And I'm going to say it anyway because this weekend, and now part of it was because I was ill, and I'm still ill, but without football, I felt bereft. There was a whole lot of stuff to watch, and I could not get involved in it, even though I watched so much of the Pebble Beach golf, and it never really held me. And I know you're going to talk about Oklahoma City and Golden State, and yet watching a lot of that, I don't know if you feel this way or if anybody you know feels this way. My anger at Russell Westbrook is palpable. I mean, Russell Westbrook, I know he's aggrieved with Kevin Durant, but he's not likable to me. And Kevin Durant is likable to me. But I wonder how you feel in that first blush when football is gone and February being a very slow month, that you sort of reorient and you try to figure out what you want to see. Do you have any of that, or you and I just differ completely?
No, I
know.
My life is not devoted to the NFL, Tony.
Mine is not devoted to the NFL or college football. I'm saying that it gives purpose and meaning and regularity to my weekends.
That's devoted.
No.
That's the definition of devoted. No. No, let's get to the real point here. I'm a black man in America. I like basketball.
I like basketball. I'm a white man in America.
I like basketball more than football.
I don't.
And I watch more football than you do. I watch more football than anybody. I love watching football. But no, it's transition. It's moved on. No, basketball is at the core of what people of me and my ilk do. That's what we do. We wait for basketball. Like others wait on football. No, football does not provide the structure for my life. And what you said just now, by the way, I can tell you're still.
Yeah, I am. I'm bad.
You're not all the way. That's why I didn't call you yesterday. I didn't call you because I thought.
I was on my back three straight days.
I thought that, so I didn't bother you yesterday. But no, I'm. I conform to half the stereotypes in America. No, basketball's here, man. That excites me. I don't need football to be excited. And I also watch something else you don't care about. I watched the NHL.
Yeah, no, I don't watch the NHL. Well, you're a black man in America, so you watch the NHL.
And so now I'm going against half the stereotypes.
Yeah, so.
In that I'm totally conformed to the one about basketball and outside the one about the NHL. I got a hockey team that's won three championships and trying to get itself together. And I like peeking at the Capitals. The Capitals are just...
They're killing it.
Bullying people.
Yeah, they're killing it.
I mean, they are just taking people's lunch money.
Yeah.
So, no, I got college basketball, which is on fire. It's on fire. My Wildcats beat Wisconsin last night in Wisconsin. I don't care about any other football. I don't give a damn about that. Northwestern beat Wisconsin. I think that's the second time we've won Wisconsin in, like, I don't know how many years. So, last night we had a quality win over the number 7 team, a team that is the highest-ranked Big Ten team, which had won 8 straight. We went into Badgerland last night in Madison and hung one on the Badgers. I couldn't disagree more. I'm glad football's out of here so that there's other stuff. I was in Oklahoma City, and to sit and watch a game like that of that sort of drama, the game itself wasn't great. The performances, there were a couple. I mean, Russell Westbrook still had 47. And Tony, he has to do that this year. Because he didn't have anything else. You know, they traded Ibaka. Everybody's gone. Where obviously Durant leaves. And I got to sit with Magic Johnson and watch a game of magnitude, which I still don't get. It's still a great thing for me to sit and watch a game with, you know, one of the smartest guys who ever laced them up.
Yeah, I was sitting down. I was laying down in a bed watching things. But, let me just go. Let me go point by point here. Let me get to Northwestern first. Because you're now 19-6 and 8-4.
Yeah.
There's no way. Honestly.
Don't say it. Don't say it.
You cannot be kept out of the NCAAs. You cannot be.
Tony, what are you talking about? First of all, we got remaining on our schedule, we have Maryland and Purdue and Michigan. Now, Michigan. Okay.
That's 8-7. That's 8-7 at worst.
And then 9-9 won't get us in this year. Look what the committee thinks of the Big Ten. The top 16 seeds they just released, and the committee thinks nothing of the Big Ten. And I'm not going to sit here and argue and say, oh, the Big Ten's, you know.
No, they're not good.
They're not the equal of the ACC or the Pac-12
No, they're not.
It's not there. It's a big step. Ugh. We got Maryland Wednesday.
Maryland's good.
So if we could beat Maryland at home.
10 wins gets you an automatic.
10, but that means we got to, you know, we got two. We got some work left.
All right. So let me also get to the Westbrook game. And here's the part that is, Westbrook is antagonistic to Durant. Now, I told you this when Durant left, that it never surprised me when Durant left, never for a second. I told you before that he was going to leave, and I said he's never going to want to play with Westbrook in Westbrook's contract year because he's never going to get the ball. I think if you watch that game as I watched it and you watched it with Magic Johnson, you could see in that game why Durant wanted to get away from this guy. He just doesn't want to play with him. He's a very hard person to play with.
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree with that. Look, I agree with all that. I mean, you know, for years, I was critical of Westbrook, thinking he was a better player than Durant, and he wasn't. And he may be his equal now.
He's a great player, but he's no fun to play with Durant.
There was an option out there of a place where it was entirely fun to play, where it's the definition of fun to play in the NBA today. Where the ball moves like the Harlem Globetrotters.
Sure. Why wouldn't you do that? I mean, the bad thing with Durant is Durant owed Westbrook more than he gave him.
Yeah, and Oklahoma City, too, I think.
Probably. I mean, Durant is, to me, fully culpable for people hating his guts, but I completely understand why he would say, I'm not going to play with this.
I do, too. But, Tony, it's the way things happen. That, you know, and these are young guys who never had to do anything difficult, most of them in their lives.
Well, they tried to play basketball.
Somebody does everything for them. Everything is difficult, an agent, a handler.
Right.
You know.
That's young athletes are all the same. They're all the same.
So therefore, I've been to Oklahoma City in the Kevin Durant era many times. And the deification of Kevin Durant in Oklahoma City, there's a few things like it. A few. You could say, okay, well, LeBron in Cleveland. Okay, But Cleveland's got other pro sports, and Cleveland's got also, even though it's not located there, the Ohio State University. I guess you can, in the same way, you could say, you know, they got Norman. They got
Oklahoma. University of Oklahoma.
But, Tony, it's not the same. This team, this is what they do. This is their church. And so in that community, I mean, when I go to Oklahoma City, you know where I eat almost every, you know where I take my meals? This is like going to a small town. You go to a rooming house.
Well, it's not the Waffle House.
I go to KD's.
Yeah.
That's where I eat.
Okay, well, he's
not there.
That's
where other players eat.
Well, not now. He's not there.
Exactly. That's my point. So this thing was traumatic for them. This is personal. This is personal to all of them. And it's personal to them that Russell Westbrook stayed. And say, at least for now. And so, you know, this is how it was going to unfold, and the barking at each other and all that. Look, I mean, you know, I know a lot of players who hated each other who don't hate each other anymore. And so, as Magic pointed out the other night in the broadcast, you know, he and Isaiah went through something very, very similar. And now they got over it years ago. So do I think these two will get over it? I suspect.
I don't see them kissing at center court.
I don't see Westbrook. Westbrook is, again, he's the aggrieved party. I don't see him getting over
it. Always the aggrieved party, you know, and then usually they get over it. Hey, maybe this will be different. I think they'll get beyond it. It'll take a while. It won't happen right now.
Yeah, I don't.
And suppose Russell Westbrook leaves. Then he will think to himself in 7 or 8 years, or he'll think, you know, I left too.
Here's what Russell Westbrook ought to think. He ought to think, Kevin Durant made the smart play, and I got stuck in a situation that I can't win in. I can be the greatest player in the world, but I cannot win here. And I'm envious of Kevin Durant because he's playing with better players than I'm playing with. And part of this, if I'm honest with myself and I'm Russell Westbrook, I go, part of this is my fault because I do not share the ball ever.
Well, that's nice for a 60-year-old man who's...
Right.
Who's introspective, nine on a scale of 1 to 10. That's not going to happen for a 28-year-old man who has hubris and ego and all these guys do, and that ain't it. And I'm glad it's not it, because that's provided the context and backdrop for a lot of this NBA season, which I like to follow as much as the NFL.
Yeah, I'll watch any time Kevin Durant goes back to Oklahoma City, and I will watch any time that Golden State plays Cleveland. And other than that, it does nothing for me at the moment. Did you see what the Gonzaga guard that you have is the number one on your board? Did you see that?
No, what did he score?
No, I don't know what he scored, but he said that, it, you know, I've got a shout out to my man Mike Wilbon for picking against us twice.
Cheryl told me that. She watched that part of that game enough.
Yes.
I heard about it when I just found out yesterday. When I got back from Oklahoma City, I didn't know.
Yes.
No, I was a little busy.
I told you that they would not lose. Repeatedly,
good.
I said
good.
They would not lose.
I got it wrong, and so they should take shots. That's good.
Well, they do. Now, they are, according to that top 16, they are a number one seed, but not the number one. And I agree with that. I don't think they should be the number one overall seed.
You know, that's one of the things in college basketball I don't care about. I don't care what seed people are. If relatively speaking, if you're a number one, you're a number one. Go out there and play.
That's right.
I don't get bogged down in whether somebody's a one or a four. I just don't care about that stuff.
Did you watch any of Pebble?
No.
Really?
Not a swing.
Well, that's too bad.
Not a swing. No. Not this year. I mean, I often do, but when you're traveling across the country, and to get to Oklahoma City is still by wagon train from Washington. You know,
they got no TVs in Oklahoma.
The airlines. I'm watching. I'm covering a game.
I know, but Pebble was on for 12 hours. How long does an NBA game take? It was on for 12 hours Saturday.
First of all, there's other duties other than the NBA game, like SportsCenter. The entire company, thanks for noticing, was in Oklahoma City.
I know. There's 1,000 people there. I saw it.
Yeah, there were. And so there's a reason we're there. We're on television. We weren't there for like a retreat. So we were on television. And being on television is a little different than watching, I think you'll agree, watching television. So I didn't see, I didn't even know what was on. Friday was a night that I traveled Friday. I know you were in your sick bed Friday.
I was on my back
but
for 3 days.
Traveling Friday, there was no time to watch Pebble Beach. With being on SportsCenter and covering the game Saturday night, there was no watching Pebble Beach, and yesterday was a travel day for me. And at the time I would have been doing that, I would have been, Northwestern came on, I had young Matthew in a big tilt in Gaithersburg for his team, which they won by two holding off a three-pointer at the buzzer from the other young lads.
They'll get in the NCAAs before Northwestern, according
to you. And so there was a lot of stuff to do, none of it involving Pebble Beach.
So what about Tiger?
I mean, what about him? He's done.
You think
I've been saying this for years.
Okay, so you think it is now, you're going to mark this done now?
I mean, I marked it done a long time ago. I'm hoping for a comeback. I'm hoping I'm wrong. I'm hoping it's like Gonzaga. I'm hoping the Tiger can go on TV one day and say, you know, I live to make my man Wilbon look stupid. That would bring me great pleasure. But it ain't happening. He doesn't have a back, and he doesn't have knees. I know about not having one knee, because I'm getting it repaired
tomorrow. I know.
And the other knee is now bum. So I got a second that should just have a two-for-one price tomorrow and not walk for a while.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody ever does that, but...
Everybody does that. Tiger, Dave Kindred did that.
Who did that?
Kindred. Kindred had both knees done the same day.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Well, you just said you know if anybody does it.
Okay, well, now we know Kindred did
it. I wouldn't do it.
I'm not doing
it. No, it's insane, but...
But, you know, Tiger, Tony, it's just, he can't play. He can't play. It's like, you know what this is like? You probably didn't watch it last night. The ESPN has a wonderful feature on Greg Oden.
I watched about 5 or 6 minutes of it.
One of the best part is the end of it.
I didn't see the end of it.
He talks about committing domestic violence. He talks about all of it. I mean, unbelievable candor for a guy 28 years old who is not like everybody else 28 years old. And who does this, and who's that level of elite athlete at 18. And Oden talks about just what he had to do to get to sleep. His knees were bothering him. He said, look, take a Vicodin, a this, a that, and a drink. That's how I fell asleep. That's the kind of pain I was in. And you're like, oh, my God. And Greg Oden, he was never Tiger Woods. Well, he was for a minute. He was Tiger Woods at 18 when Ohio State was on the way to the final, to the championship game. And Oden was the first player chosen above Kevin Durant. And Durant's on camera saying, no, it's injuries. I mean, Durant can't believe that Oden didn't amount to Oden on the basketball court. And so this happens occasionally. At least Tiger had, you know, from 1997 to 2013, for he had 11 years where he was the best.
Tiger's not Greg Oden. Tiger was the greatest golfer in history.
Point is this. He's Greg Oden now.
So you see, to me...
Injuries they didn't just reduce him, Tony. The injuries eliminated his career, the end of his career.
Yeah, I guess if he doesn't tee it up in the Masters, I'm going to wonder if he's ever going to
tee it up. He's not going to tee it up in the Masters for what?
I don't know.
What's he going to shoot at Augusta? Is he going to be like Gary Player? He'd lose to Player at this point. He can't make a cut. He can't make a cut in his backyard in La Jolla. So, no, I mean, I know. I want to see it too. But if you're sitting around waiting for that in football, then you got a real tough few months coming.
All right, I'll see you later.
All right, Tom.
Michael Wilbon, boys and girls, be on the PTI show. We'll come back with news. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Postage rates have gone up again. That means trips to the post office are an even bigger hassle. It is so crowded. But thanks to Stamps.com, you don't have to worry about it. Just use Stamps.com to automatically calculate and print the correct amount of postage for every letter or package you send. Stamps.com brings all the services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your fingertips. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail using your own computer and printer. They'll send you a digital scale, which automatically calculates the exact postage. Stamps.com will even help you decide the best class of mail based on your needs. And Stamps.com saves you money. They give you postage discounts you can't get at the post office, including 3 cents off every first-class stamp. Wow. Anything you can do at the post office, you can now do from your desk. You will never have to go to the post office again. And right now, if you use my code TONYK, you get this special offer. You get a 4-week trial, and that includes postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and then type in TONYK. That is stamps.com. Enter TONYK and sign up today. With stamps.com, you will never have to go to the post office again.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Wherever you are, we walked up to the tower.
You're looking at me quizzically. This is a band called Shade. And I purposely did not give you an email on this, because this is a band that used to be called the Walking Sticks. That I was walking down the street in Glover Park, and I heard this band playing, and I was like, and it doesn't sound like this. And they're playing a song, and I felt like Brian Epstein. I was like, I have to go in and I have to listen to this band. And it wasn't a large crowd, and it was this woman singing and two brothers playing, and they're absolutely magnificent. I sort of got to know them and drifted apart. And I said, hey, I reached out to them about 2 weeks ago and said, hey, we're playing all kinds of music on the show. If you'd like to send us some stuff, we'd love to. And so they've renamed themselves called Shade, S-H-E-D, and they're touring all over the country.
Wait. S-H-E-D, Shed?
S-H-A-E-D, Shade.
S-H-A-E-D. Okay, you want to spell it a third way?
Why would you do that?
One more chance?
Why would you spell it like that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, maybe otherwise, if you went S-H-A-D-E, people would think it's Sade.
Really?
Perhaps.
Yeah, it could be. So anyways, the lovely people, and they're touring the country, and they send us a bunch of the music.
Very cool.
Michael.
I like that.
These musical gifts we have are
wonderful. How do we get it? If they're not going to hand deliver it to Nigel, how else can they get it?
Yes.
They can send it to jingles at tonycornizershow.com.
And if somebody wants to buy tumblers, how do they do that?
Tumblers? They can go to shop.tonycornizershow.com.
So let me...
How those tumblers moving?
Moving quickly.
Nice.
Let me explain the Bill Isaacson. Out of the shop.
Get it now before they go.
Let me explain the Bill Isaacson theory. Isaacson and I went to dinner on Thursday night. This is when Thursday, I knew I was going down the drain on Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday you were not
your
well.
Voice I knew was banged up. I was
bad idea to go out to dinner Thursday.
Well, I made a commitment. I like Bill Isaacson a lot, and he was going to meet me at Chad's, and so we were there. And you knew, here's what I knew was a disaster for me. When I walked in and all I could have was tea, I just said, please bring me tea with lemon and honey, and that was it. So anyway, Isaacson says, and he likes the music, Isaacson says at the end of the show, when we're all done, the next 5 minutes, play the full version of the two or three songs that we used that day. Mm. So people can get all of it if they choose to. This is a very smart thing to do. Tease it the way we do it now with 15 or 20 or 30 seconds. And then when the show is over, put in that music.
Just lay in a full
cut.
Is
that possible? Is it just harder work for you?
Because it's not as simple as you're thinking, but... Yeah.
Well, he's very enthusiastic about
it. It sounds like a great idea. No, it's just... I understand the idea of it. It's just not quite as simple as you probably are thinking it might be.
I thought we were doing my stand-up at the end of every...
Wait, why isn't it easy?
Because do you really want to get into this?
Yes, you have this thing. You asked for this thing called an MP3.
Yes, but
Wait. Let me just tell you what I think for a second.
Sure.
It would seem to me that an MP3 has the recording of this music on it. So at the end of the show, just pop the MP3 onto the end of the show.
This like logic you would play Bye Bye Pervert or something.
Yeah, why?
This logic is pretty infallible there, Nigel.
I mean, you ask for it to be delivered in a certain way that makes it easy.
Seems to have a good grasp technologically.
So tell me
how it works.
Sure, we'll make it work.
No, let's
no, we'll make it work.
Let's talk about our problems on the air. What's the difference? Tell me why it doesn't work.
He didn't say it wouldn't work.
He said I'm too lazy to do it.
No, sure. I'll make it work.
How much extra time will it take to do that?
For clarity, sometimes people send us, let's say, a 45-second cut. So they've already trimmed down their full, say, 3-minute song to a cut.
Right.
And then the balance would be if you had two songs that you played and one of them was just a 45-second cut versus a 3.5-minute full song. The balance of that would be out of sync and would look like you were giving undue favor to one artist when that was just the way that they shared their music.
I'll go one more. Remember how occasionally in February and
July, it was a good idea.
We would just do an entire segment of jingles because there's nothing to talk about?
Hated that.
We could just not come in tomorrow and just have Nigel play 90 minutes of these songs.
I think people hated that. They thought we were being lazy and we weren't really working hard, right?
The shoe fits.
So... I thought it was a good idea, but it
was a good idea.
I'm channeling Nigel. It seems like a very bad idea.
Yeah, I guess.
He's deeply unhappy.
Yeah, obviously. Okay. What's the news?
Wow.
Lots of stuff went on this weekend.
Yes. A lot of things.
Wow, good segue.
Jordan Spieth wins at Pebble Beach. I know you watched quite a bit of this.
I watched so much of this. I watched on Saturday. I bookended the CBS coverage by watching Golf Channel before
the after hours on Golf Channel.
Weird.
With the monkey on the shoulder.
The monkey on the shoulder.
Yeah, and, the diaper wearing monkey.
Yeah, yeah, and Gary McCord, who just, you know, Gary McCord, who it seems to be important to tell you that he doesn't make enough money to buy the house he's always wanted in Pebble Beach. And at one point, Gary McCord went on and on that he wanted to be a marshal. That there was a hole, I think it was like either 9 or 10.
Like United States Marshal?
No, no.
Or like stand at a hole?
Every outhouse. Oh, sorry.
No, he felt that this one particular hole with the Pacific Ocean in the background was something that the marshal could watch the balls as they hit the green and then turn around and look at the ocean.
Probably 10, which is on the edge of the
property. Yeah, 10. And he was saying what a great job that was. And I felt, you know, maybe I was alone in this. I felt if he wanted that job, he could walk out of the tower and he could have that job and make no money at all.
Yeah, those guys aren't making seven figures.
You know, they don't make any money at all. Or you could stay in the tower and you could say, you know what? I really like the job I've got.
Wouldn't the par three, is it 7, be better? Because then you could just stare out at the ocean the whole time.
They're not going to have a marshal behind the green on 7 because it's so close to the bluff.
To the water.
10 has a nice private area in the back as it looks down over the beach.
Anyway, ooh, nice. So I watched.
There's seals on
all
that beach?
I did was watch and watch and watch and watch.
Oh, it was riveting. Riveting.
Justin Timberlake?
Well, I saw Justin Timberlake. I saw the live shot of him almost getting the hole in one.
Apparently missed by just inches, right?
Yes.
Ripped it back. Too much spin.
He was playing with Justin
on
Rose.
Greens.
He's a good player, Justin Timberlake. He has tried to qualify, as has Tony Romo, for the U.S. Open. So a lot of these guys are awfully good. Carson Daly ended up winning. He claims to be a 10. I'll bet if these guys played regularly, if you're a 10, you're probably a 6 or a 7 if you play a solid month, would you say, Michael?
I'd agree, and I think for this tournament, they bump up the handicaps a little.
That's what I think, to give you more play in your number. Jordan Spieth yesterday played a great round of golf. He had a 6-shot lead. He hit 17 of 18 greens in regulation. He never had, only once did he have as long as a 5-foot putt to make par. And every other time, Michael, he was within 3 feet of making par. He did everything you're supposed to do to win. It didn't create any drama at all, which bothered the people on the broadcast, which I understand because you're doing the broadcast and you want there to be some tension. But Jordan Spieth won that tournament in a decisive and actually, I thought, a spectacular way.
He won the golf tournament on Saturday afternoon. If you want to see a putting clinic, just look at the mid-range putts he was making on Saturday. What the broadcast team wanted was the hardest stretch of the golf course is between 6 and 10 when all those holes are right around the water's
edge. That's right.
And they thought if one of the contenders could get within 3, you might have a tournament. He still had a lot of clearance. And there is a second spot, the short par 4 13th. 2 days in a row, he hooked his drive, which is a new quick move he has, and he got lucky. The ball skipped out of the bunker.
Yes.
But he was in a bad lie, and he carried the green to a back left pin. They had a lot of these pins back in the greens to try and induce players to overspin the ball.
That was the only one.
He got it up and down.
Yeah.
And that was when the tournament was over, and he had his final, what I would call in sort of my parlance, the FU putt on 17.
Yes,
when he had
the
about
birdie.
A 20-footer. He was the only person to get that putt to the hole all day long, and it was perfect speed dead center.
He is being compared to Tiger Woods and Jack Nicklaus now solely because of a certain point in his life. He is under an age threshold and has won.
Fastest to 9 wins.
Yeah,
right?
But that, you know, to me, that's not why you compare somebody. And I think those comparisons are very, very early and incorrect right now because when Tiger was this age, Tiger was winning 25% of the tournaments he entered. I mean, we've never, ever seen anybody like Tiger. Nobody's been like Tiger. But Jordan Spieth's good.
Look at the golf courses he's winning on. Now, there's an issue because with golf right now, you have so many limited field events that it almost becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy because you only play tournaments at a certain level that you have a higher percent chance to win because the tournament is just a lower field.
He also has broken par every round this year and has only shot 70 twice every other round.
Well,
in his 60s.
The two people that could have put pressure on him that were expected to are Dustin Johnson and Brant Snedeker, and Snedeker did not. And Dustin Johnson would be a guy, if I had him in golf pools, he would drive me absolutely crazy because he misses so many. If he could putt like Jordan Spieth could putt.
Look at the numbers. He's a much better putter the last 2 years. He switched to that mallet style putter. He's actually a very good putter now.
He's not as good as Jordan Spieth.
No, Jordan Spieth is on a run right now for mid-range putts that put him as the best putter of that category ever.
Yeah, he's really good.
Golly.
I'm the only person who watched this.
Right? Now, interesting, Jordan Spieth struggles on some of those short putts. So even the first hole yesterday, now it's about a 6-inch right-to-left putt on the first hole that has that late snap on the Poana greens. He struggled, as most of us would, on that putt. It's interesting to watch because he makes those 20 to 25 footers with regularity, and yet he hits a 3-footer and you think he's going to miss it. It wiggles out.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, so I watched a lot of that. Nigel, you look at his face, Chris. Nigel's
he's
still angry.
Stewing.
No, I'm getting ready for my next story.
No, he's stewing.
I know Wilbon won't watch.
He's doing the calculus on how to figure out how
he's
to
so angry.
Play a song.
We should have sent an MP4.
Still angry.
Wilbon won't watch, but we have Riviera this week, and I know you guys are sort of left empty without football to watch, but I find you have these West Coast golf courses that are destination courses that most of us never get to play, and you get to see another top 100 course with a great field, and yeah, you get to see Phil Mickelson playing well again and Jordan Spieth.
But are we not going to talk about the story that as a very casual golf observer, that Tiger pieced out of the next two events?
He's done.
Is that, I mean, that's it, right?
No, I don't know if it's it, but you know,
I mean, he can't, can he not practice?
I have like, a theory what is about the, this. I mean, I know where Mike is. I know Mike believes that it's all about him physically.
Right.
I don't agree with that. I think the back is a very convenient excuse. He'll always
completely
have a bad back.
Completely agree.
He'll always have a bad back. He's not ready to play golf. He knows. I think he now knows it doesn't really matter what I do.
I mean,
I can't beat these kids. I can't beat them. So, huh.
Well, he's not going to go shoot 76, 74.
Does he play Augusta?
So.
I think he tries to, Michael.
I think you have to. You have a lifetime. You have the lifetime ability to play it. Play it until they say no more.
You never.
Even if you're worried about embarrassing yourself.
Does he play it if he hasn't played prior?
I still think you have to play it because you might catch fire. Let's say the weather is such that you have a great loose back all week. You're playing well. The putts are rolling in. You have a chance to win. You have to play.
But Michael, will he play if he hasn't played competitively all season?
I think so.
Can I lead into Chris?
Yeah,
there's two stories, political stories that are interesting. The Michael Flynn story and a story in the Washington Post today, a sort of buried story by a friend of Donald Trump blaming Reince Priebus for everything that has gone
out of
wrong.
His depth.
Yeah. I mean, are these
on the record?
Yes. A guy named Ruddy.
Yeah.
Are these to be taken seriously? Are both these stories to be taken seriously?
If you look at the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, and the Washington Post today, in their main, as you talked about, in the right top spot on the front of the newspaper, the main premier spot are all stories about Mike Flynn.
Yeah.
This all goes back to last week. The Post reported, citing 9 intelligence officials, the Post reported that he had talked about the economic sanctions that the Obama administration had levied against Russia for payback on the Russian hacking with the Russian ambassador during the month of transition.
Why can't you do that?
Well, you can, except when you say repeatedly on the record you didn't do that, and you tell the vice president of the United States you didn't do that, and then that vice president of the United States goes on TV and says, no, he didn't do it. So that's the issue. I think Flynn already has a lot of enemies. He's been very cutting about the intelligence community, about the national security community. So there's a lot of people who already want him gone. And when you deceive the vice president of the United States and he goes out there and puts his credibility on the line, you're in for a world of hurt. I'm surprised he survived the weekend politically. There are all these stories that Trump wants to make a major change, that he's not happy with Reince Priebus, the White House Chief of Staff. Those quotes in there are just brutal from the guy who's friends with him, who Trump met with this weekend at Mar-a-Lago, and the guy comes out and just bombs out Reince Priebus.
Must have told him.
Sean Spicer continues to – the White House Press Secretary continues to – you know, I mean, there are stories that are like Trump is interviewing new Chief of Staff and press secretary candidates. I mean, that's
really
yes. I mean, that is brutal. He's been president for 24 days. Just FYI, 24 days.
Do you think Flynn survives this?
No, Though, you know what? That's based on conventional political wisdom, he's which is you got to throw someone to the wolves.
Yeah, why?
But he's Trump. So that said, I think he does not like underlings, which is, again, everyone other than him, underlings getting him bad press. It's all about how it looks. And Flynn is getting him a lot of bad press. And so he doesn't like that. So it's possible that he goes. But it's Trump. So, I mean, who, you know. All of my wonderful predictions about his chances of winning the election turned out so well that I'm not going to – I mean, I just don't think you can make predictions
rules
at this point.
Rules don't apply.
No. Yeah.
All right, let's get out of here, and then we will come back, and we'll do Old Guy, and I will tell you about my illness, and I will tell you about my battle with Washington gas. I'm very upset at
it's called
Washington.
Called a tease.
Very upset at Washington,
Gas Energy Services.
And a bill.
Wow, that, there's a lot of writing on that bill.
A bill that I got, which – strikes me as unfair, and I'm going to do this for people out there who probably have no idea how to rant and rave and yell and scream when they get what they would consider
voice for the voiceless.
A completely unfair bill, as I have gotten. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the MeUndies ad, and it's about Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day is Wednesday. Today is
nearly upon
Monday.
Us.
Tomorrow, isn't it?
I think it's Tuesday.
It's tomorrow.
Valentine's Day, take two, is Tuesday.
Got it.
That's tomorrow. Let me call.
That would be Tuesday, the 14th of February. This year it's the 14th.
Right? Yeah, this year's the 13th. We are in the 13th now. So this Valentine's Day, give a gift they can unwrap again and again, matching underwear from MeUndies. It's go time for thoughtful gift hunting. MeUndies has you covered with limited edition matching pairs of undies for you and yours. If Valentine's Day has you stumped, forget the cliches and give a gift that looks great, feels great, and will make everyone happy. MeUndies. Fancy dinners and chocolate last a night. Flowers last a week. This year, give the gift of looking great and feeling great every day with the world's most comfortable underwear. MeUndies are the perfect gift for you and your Valentine this holiday. They're unbelievably soft and come in limited edition prints. MeUndies knows that your special someone deserves a special fabric, which is why their underwear is made exclusively out of, and we're going to do this from now on, Modal. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah, right.
There
we're
it
wrong,
is.
We're wrong.
It's Modal.
Made exclusively out of Modal, a fabric with a touch three times softer than cotton. MeUndies has limited edition Valentine's undies, which means you and your Valentine can match. And yeah, it is as cute as it sounds. And if for some reason you and MeUndies are not a perfect match, they will give you your money back and let you keep the first pair. There's no refund on a bad fancy dinner. MeUndies offers free shipping. And for a limited time, listeners to this podcast will get 20% off their first order. But you have to go to MeUndies.com/TonyK. With the MeUndies Better Day Guarantee, you have nothing to lose. Don't wait any longer. Go to MeUndies, MeUndies, MeUndies.com/TonyK right now for 20% off your first order. That is MeUndies.com/TonyK.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Old Guy Radio for the day. This is Daydream Believer. These are the Monkees. We're doing this because Peter Tork, who was the only actual musician of the original Monkees, is 75 years old today. In terms of critical commentary, Davy Jones was an actor and a musical theater performer in England. Mickey Dolenz was an actor, was on a show called Circus Boy when he was a kid. And Michael Nesmith was a rich kid. I think Michael Nesmith's mom invented liquid paper.
That's right.
So they were
white,
billionaires.
Like Whiteout?
That's right.
Something like that. So they were billionaires. As it turned out, and this is my crusade on the Monkees, they were far, far better than they ever got credit for. They're not great. They're not the Beatles, and they were designed and conceived to be an American answer to the Beatles, and they weren't. But they were better than people said they were, and they ended up learning how to play, and they could all sing, and they performed, and they were better than people thought. And that's, you know, to say that they're not the Beatles, tell me who is.
I mean, right. Beatles.
So tell me, yeah, there's just the Beatles. Okay, so let me tell you about my illness. I spent, after doing the show here Thursday and doing the PTI show Thursday and being sort of out of it on Thursday, I got home Thursday night and I was, for three straight days, I was coughing violently and sneezing constantly. And I had absolutely no appetite. I forced myself to eat, you know, a piece of toast here and there. I loaded up on cough drops because some of the ones I had in the house were lousy. And I went out and got new cough drops, which were fine. And I drank water all over the place because your throat gets dry, you're coughing and sneezing all the time. And I had no energy. I have some energy today. I'm better today. I expect to be better each day this week. Some people call this a flu. I mean, to me, I don't want to get too scatological here, but to me, if you have the flu, you're running to the bathroom all the time. You can't stop stuff from coming out of you.
Well, you would typically have a fever as well.
Yeah,
I didn't have a fever.
I think you would, and you'd be achy.
I was achy.
You were?
I was achy. To this degree, I was achy. My head, what's left of my hair hurt. Every time I touched my head hurt. Yeah. My neck hurt. Everything, shoulders up, hurt.
Sore.
All the time. Yeah. I had no strength. I spent hours and hours and hours just laying in bed. I would hope to sleep, but I couldn't necessarily sleep. And the coughing and the sneezing would awaken me. But I was a complete mess.
Are you sure
mess.
You didn't have a fever?
I never felt hot.
Chills? Do you ever
never,
have chills?
Never. Okay. Never had chills. And I called my doctor and I described it and he said it's probably going to last 4 or 5 days.
Get your affairs in order.
So, no.
Oh, okay.
But I went.
I'll be over.
I got
sent for the priest.
I got this one over-the-counter medicine. A dime sip or something like
Dimasap
that.
Dimasap?
Yeah.
Dimetap, maybe.
Oxycontin?
Yeah. That's not
No, not Oxycontin.
Says you.
And I took that every 12 hours, and I was allowed to do that, and I didn't drink, which was made for a very bad weekend, I felt. But last night I was able to drink because I felt better about that.
Whew.
I made myself some eggs and hash browns last night and
okay.
ate them.
Okay. Breakfast for dinner.
Yeah. Yeah. That's always a great moment.
Forced myself to eat, and I was really I felt so guilty. I felt so guilty of not doing the show on Friday. I really did. Thank God Dan Levitard did the show, and much more so than other people, has been very solicitous of my health and has emailed me every day so that he can find out how I am. I guess he doesn't want to have to do the show again today, and I'll be able to do the show. But I was really bad, and people described it as a flu. Again, it doesn't seem like a flu to me, but I had taken a flu shot. And I guess it means that if you take a flu shot, it doesn't mean you won't get the flu.
No.
Maybe
no,
it means correct. It won't yeah. be as terrible.
They try to predict. I'm a giant hypochondriac, so I looked this up. They try to predict the 5 most common strains, and they inoculate you to those. But there are lots of other strains that you can get. It's very—
Maybe this is a
sometimes
flu.
Get, yeah, when did flu. You get the flu shot?
In late October, okay. early November.
Because sometimes getting the flu shot can induce flu-like symptoms.
No, this is months and months later. Yeah. So I missed out on all the things. Like Michael went to, if you're going to go to your first game at Cameron Indoor, how about going to North Carolina?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Can you describe, Michael, who didn't even know I was ill.
You didn't call me.
Well,
I knew you were ill.
I'm not going to tell you I'm ill. I'm not going to say, why don't you call?
I mean, if it's
you
raining,
call me
you
three
never
to four
call
times
anymore,
a day.
Michael.
So every day at 5:50, I get a voicemail from you.
So what were your seats like? I mean, it was a great game.
We started in the seats. That's halfway up Cameron, right behind the basket that Carolina was shooting on. So we sat there for the first half. The student section is on my left, and I got goosebumps before the game started when you see them cheering and singing. And I'd made fun of them for the last, 15 years, saying I don't like those kids. But when you get down there, it's an unbelievable feeling. We then switched seats, and we went down to sit behind the Duke bench for the second
seats.
Half.
He sent me a picture from where
switch
he was
seats.
Sitting.
And
explain. Hang on. Don't just go. Yeah, what do you mean you switched your seats?
I'd like to sit there for a while.
So
who'd you trade with?
Our host,
Coach
Dr.
K.
Friedman, has access Friedman. To a bunch of seats, and he has obviously been to many games. His daughter, Sarah, is good friends with Liz and knew that this was my first experience, so wanted to get me down on the floor. And, normally I'm used to getting to a section and having an exit point. My biggest fear is not knowing how to get out of a row. Mm. And for this bench, there's basically one way up and one way down. Once you're into that section, you're not leaving till the game's over. So of course I'm sitting there 2-3 minutes in saying, don't go to the bathroom. Don't, come on, don't get a drink. I'm looking at everyone around me saying, who's going to have to move? Don't go into overtime. And the game was an amazing game. For my Dukey wife, Duke pulled out a close win at the end, but it was the game you wanted to see. You saw the lead go back and forth a number of times. You saw Grayson Allen, the most watchable player, in my opinion, in college basketball right now, do just unthinkable things with a basketball. He had a step back three to end the first half, which got them the lead. You saw him foul out on a bunch of questionable calls. You saw Coach K incite the crowd, which I really never see him do, hands up looking at the crowd. So it was just the game you wanted to see.
Yeah.
You're going to go to Cameron.
I was watching it and thinking,
sort of like
I'm
Georgetown, Syracuse in the old days.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. So we're sitting there, and our host
goes, what's the matter?
No, I just, you know, when you bring up the old days.
Well, that was
How about Georgetown Creighton?
No.
That long storied rivalry, Georgetown DePaul.
No, Georgetown Syracuse in the old days.
I was watching the game and was happy for you, Mike, because I knew you were there and that it was a really good game. Because sometimes those games with all that buildup, it winds up being a blowout one way or the other.
So I saw a stat going into that game, I guess in 96 games, that series was 48-48 going into that game. But not only that, they had scored
same amount of points.
Same number of points. It was like 7,128 points each or something in 96 games.
Crazy. This is the way, like, if you want to see a football game and you have a chance to see Ohio State, Michigan, that's the game you go to.
Right.
If you have a chance to go to Duke, Carolina, that's the one you go to.
Yep.
And the notion that all of these seats magically become available that are within 5 feet of the court, that's nice.
They just moved around a little bit, just get a different view.
I didn't. So to finish that side of the story, Liz's cousins are sitting right behind the scorer's table, sitting next to JJ.
Oh, so JJ Redick.
I saw Leitner and Danny Ferry were there as well.
Yeah.
Very star-studded.
So that was,
and Michael said, I was always interested in this because when you watch it on TV, it looks like it's 1,000 degrees in there at all times because they go to the announcers just pouring with sweat, and Michael confirmed that it gets very steamy.
Warm. So none of the kids, you know, they're wearing shorts and for many of them, not even wearing a shirt.
Well, it's like 90.
But all the regulars there, it was a cold, it was probably 40 degrees cold by North Carolina standards. Nobody shows up to it to the game with a jacket.
Yeah,
nowhere to put it.
Did you buy? Did you buy anything? Buy any gear?
I was looking for an appropriate piece of Duke apparel for somebody such as myself, which is I'm rooting for Duke because my wife roots for Duke, and I'm slowly getting into the fold. I have a polo shirt that I will wear once more. I did not get a hat. Even Liz looked at the hat that I tried on and said, I can't get used to that. Don't get that.
Just with the D?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to see you in that.
No, I agree.
No offense.
Totally agree.
I walked through the Duke Hall of Fame, and I saw a picture of Lefty.
Charles Grice Trezell.
So I took a photo, and I texted it to Chuck.
He must be happy to see that.
He was thrilled.
They don't sell beer there, do they?
They do not.
Okay, I imagine they
kind of place is that?
Okay. They do it in Maryland games these days.
I'm going to talk about my Washington gas bill.
Oh, here it comes.
This is why you tuned in, people. Get your popcorn ready.
This one goes to 11.
For the last 3 or 4 years, I have owned the little house next door to my house. As I've told you many, many times, that house is uninhabitable. It is uninhabitable. You cannot live in the house. There are no floors. There are no ceilings. It is a disaster. It would take a lot of money to redo, and my plans for the house have been rejected by those near and dear to me. So I haven't done anything with the house, and I'm fine with that. I'm fine with not having anyone live next door to me and build something big that dwarfs where I live. So this is fine. I don't ask anybody to hold a benefit for me. I can manage this. But one of the things that is true about the house is that it is on a Washington gas line, and I don't use any gas. There is no gas in that house. There is no running water. There is no gas. There is electricity. And so when I get an electrical bill every month, I'm happy to pay it because I know there is electricity in the house.
And to clarify, there is access to gas and water.
But we use none.
Right.
We use absolutely none. For the last 4 years, the bill every single month, like clockwork, has been $9.90. And I assume
access fees and taxes.
That's right. And I have no problem with that. This past month, I got a bill for $14.32.
Outrage.
And I called up. Now, again, try to keep this in perspective. I can afford this. This has nothing to do with how much it is.
It's a principle.
It has only to do with the fact, well, how did this happen?
It's a 50% increase with no change in usage.
48% increase. Yeah. So I call up. Now, the people who work for Washington Gas or Pepco or whatever electrical or gas company that you deal with wherever you live, the people, I believe, are told to lie to you. I believe they're told to push your questions aside with a certain amount of gobbledygook all the time and then to simply lie to you. And that way, only the real committed people will take this another step to a supervisory level or an executive level. So I call. And I call and I say, why did my bill go up this much? And I'm told our costs at Washington Gas are variable. Okay, and I go, well, what does that mean? What does that mean? A lot of people's costs are variable. Why did mine go up from $9.90 to $14.32? And then I was told there was a 20% rate hike so that customers won't have to replace pipes. I go, excuse me? And the woman on the other, now this is the third person I've talked to. One hung up on me when I pursued a line of questioning.
Hung up
and
on you.
And one, when I asked to talk to a supervisor, deliberately just cut me off, put me into the ozone. And this person, this particular woman who stayed with me for a while longer than the others, after she had said to me there was a 20% rate hike so the customers won't have to replace pipes.
That's kind
and
of
And I said, what are you talking about? And she said, well, the weather was so cold in the month of January.
Oh, my.
The weather was so cold in the month of January that we told our customers, now I don't know who they told, that we're going to raise prices so that you don't have to replace pipes in your own house, which would be a terrible detriment to your balance of debt payments. And I said, I know for a fact, because I read this, that it was the warmest January on record in
well,
Washington,
only in the
DC
history
area.
Of the
yeah.
earth.
Yeah. Right.
Well,
yeah.
time. And she said, well, I'm telling you,
I mean,
the
that's
customers, most of our customers don't want to have to replace their pipes. So they're happy with a 20% increase. And I said, this isn't a 20% increase. This is a 48% increase. It's not 20% at all. And she said, this will go down when it gets warmer.
Oh.
And I wrote down, why don't I believe that? Because it was the warmest January on record. Now, I have not to this point. I've had problems. I'm sure all of you have had problems with utility bills in your life. I have not gone. Oh, I tried to go to the supervisory level where I would just be lied to by somebody in a more senior position. I would be lied to because they want to discourage you. They want you to just pay. And I paid the bill. You don't have to worry about it. It's $14. Well, it's just, it's not a
pennies.
Sum that matters. It is what it is you're just being lied to. So can I get the chairman of Washington Gas on the phone and can I say, what are you talking about? Your bill says I don't consume any gas. If I don't consume any gas and you raised your rates 20%, why did mine go up 48%? Why did that happen? This is where I am right now. I mean, am I angry? Yeah, I'm feigning anger to some degree because it's just not a sum of money that matters. But you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. It doesn't make any sense.
You need the leader of the store.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Take me to the leader of your
head
store.
Worker,
no, this is the kind of thing.
I had three customer services person and two hang-ups to me.
Well,
I was hung up on.
That should never happen.
I'll transfer you, sir. Boom.
Oh,
let me
say,
anyone who can relate to this and or is outraged by this, I cannot recommend highly enough, and I think I've recommended this book to you, a book by David K. Johnston, who's a Pulitzer Prize winning financial writer for,
I
believe,
those
New York Times.
Away to anybody.
Wrote a book called The Fine Print, How Big Companies Use Plain English to Rob You Blind, and it is all about how utility companies work you. And legally how they do it and how they back channel it and how they lobby the Hill for the right to do it.
They're not going to let you talk to anyone who can make a decision.
No. They figure you will give up.
You'll give up,
before,
of course.
Because it's not worth it to you. It's not worth your time.
You won't even notice. It's actually worth my time. If I wasn't that, if I was just a little bit sick, I'd have been on the, well, it's a weekend, so I wouldn't have gotten
By the way, history is replete with stories of gas companies essentially assessing customers, which is what they're doing to you, for these theoretical improvements that they then do not make. And when the line explodes and people die, it ends up being they end up being bailed out by taxpayers yet again. They don't even do the repairs they're claiming.
I had two people tell me, wouldn't you rather pay this now than have to replace all your pipes? After
but
I've said
don't use
this
it.
Was the warmest January on record. And they ignore that.
Yeah.
Well, they just ignore that. We're doing this for you. We're saving you money in the long term. I don't use your gas. If I went for 4 years without using your gas and it was $9.90, how did it get to be $14.32? And by the way, if you can explain it to me, I'm fine with it. But you can't get anyone to explain it to you.
1432, good number, kind of, right?
Yeah, that's a good number.
I'm sure that they expect most people won't even notice it or be like...
It would be better if it was 1234.
Most people do not. I mean, look at your cell phone bill.
Or it's like $4 and I'm like, oh, it's just $4. But it adds up. And so it's like, what exactly are people doing?
Yeah, because for most people, It's not a 50% increase. It's a $4 increase. So their bill just went from 68 to 72.
That's right. Most people's gas bill is not $9.90. Yeah. Right. That's why, I mean.
But they expect you won't notice it.
And nobody memorizes their bill but me. I know how much I pay.
That's why I'm off the grid.
Well, there you
got a well, got a propane tank.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, I don't want to end up a survivalist.
No.
I don't want to be that guy.
You get in a bunker.
You don't have
but
to be
I
that
mean,
guy.
Maybe somebody could actually explain what happened without giving me the impression that you're not only lying to me, but that every time I ask for you to help me in a certain way, you just cut me off.
Are you polite? Are you polite to these people?
Relatively.
You don't say, like, why are you lying
you
to me?
You weren't suggesting they send an MP3 at the end of the bill, were you?
No.
Which then
could be totally understandable. That can't be done. We're going to put a man on the moon before we do
that. I didn't want more work for them. God forbid anybody has to do any more work. That's my story.
You're only making it worse, not better.
They are.
He's just fuming.
They're the worst. They are the worst. That's difficult.
Washington Gas.
So no resolution, right?
Nothing.
Not in your favor, anyway.
Nothing at all. I would like to talk to somebody in the executive structure of Washington Gas who will explain to me what happened and explain to me why they are justified in raising my bill to that degree when, again, I consume none of their product. None. We'll be back. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Come on out today to this restaurant where even Junior has to pay. Sad podcasting through the glass like monkeys at the zoo. His son's inheritance is screwed. But don't let it rush you. There's the socialite. Nothing else to do but be the norm of friendship heights. Gary with a scowl that could be permanently glued. His hate's probably aimed at you. And that's his happy mood. Comfort bowling alley fries. Tony Beeson singing live. Maury will reveal tonight your paternity. Win horse chicken parmesan. Better than take home from the palm. Manager is the capture not streamlined. She's a real one. Down to heated friendship heights. Don't take measure, it might be on fire. And if you take your bites, please always do wear white. You will pay full price. It's another day at chance.
Let me tell you how brilliant this song is. If you have not seen the movie La La Land, you will not understand how brilliant it is. That's basically the beginning number in La La Land, which is a wonderful, wonderful movie. This is Kirsten Ohnstadt and Sean Morrissey doing a vocal duet to the tune of Another Day of Sun, written by Luke Overbay in Charleston, South Carolina. It's the opening number of La La Land as an ode to a restaurant related to you by ownership. We could also turn this jingle for an actual local television spot. We could cut the video during Jingle Fest weekend. Maybe we could get a bunch of littles to stop traffic on Wisconsin Avenue and jump on top of their cars. This is actually legitimately brilliant.
That's great.
You had to have seen La La Land.
The time taken to do that
just
is
so
really good.
So good. Before we get into the mailbag, I want to say thanks to Michael Wilbon for coming on with us, though he was angry. Not as angry as I am. I also want to thank our sponsors today, Harry's Razors, MeUndies, and Stamps.com. Please support them the way they support our podcast. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. And I want to just absolutely make sure that this goes out to Dave Mace. A shout out to Dave Mace, one of the great littles and listeners on the show. And now we'll get into the mailbag. Andy from Baltimore. Not exactly a David Aldridge moment, but the discussion about John Miller during your conversation with Hank Azaria. That Hank Azaria thing was really good.
That was great.
On Wednesday made me nostalgic for the days when he broadcast Orioles games before Peter Angelos fired him for not being enough of a homer. Had Miller not been a broadcaster, he could have earned a living as a stand-up comic. He once substituted as the keynote speaker on short notice for a no-show Peter Angelos, ironically enough, at a local charity function. His imitation of doing baseball play-by-play at a game played entirely by Hawaiian players, all of whom had five-syllable names, was drop the mic funny. I'm telling you, he does Vin Scully doing a game in Japanese. And it's just, you can't stop laughing.
He never wore pants in the booth, right?
Yes, shorts.
Idol.
Hawaiian shirts, too.
Yeah.
Idol.
From James Owen in Anchorage, Alaska, the Amy Gutman encounter sounds very similar to the Jeffrey Ma situation. Did you offer her $50? I am Jay Owen of Anchorage, Alaska, proud member of the Tony Kornheiser Nation.
TK Nation.
Yeah, the Amy Gutman thing, I was a bit embarrassed. Oh, you're the president. Oh, okay. Well, my child is trying to
get
in. What
do you do here?
Yeah. From Wendy Movsky or Movsky, we live in humble Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, which has no fancy grocery store like Whole Foods or even Safeway. Well, they just closed down at Whole Foods, didn't they? So imagine my disappointment when I enthusiastically unpacked the groceries for my trip to Walmart, so excited to share my awesome find with the man to whom I'm related by marriage, Little, who got me totally hooked on your show, when he looked at me with a baffled expression on his face and he said, "Why did you buy a bag of oranges when we don't really eat fruit?" "But they're caracaras," I replied, "the only ones Mr. Tony eats, and I found them at Walmart." He just shook his head. Oh, well, at least he has our annual Valentine's date to the Golden Corral to look forward to. Thanks for making our workday brighter. Steve and I look forward to hearing your podcast every day. P.S. We spotted a bobcat in the woods behind our house last night. I'm positive it was Ollie enjoying freedom where it's warm. From Mike O'Brien in Revere, Massachusetts. You said Carole King moved to Aspen, Colorado, and even though the wine flows like the salmon of Capistrano in Aspen, she didn't. She actually moved to Idaho. Yes. I know this because about 4 years ago, I drove Carole whenever she would be in Boston. We talked a lot, and I would like to think that when she sang You've Got a Friend, she was singing it to me. Let me cough.
There you go.
Yep. Done.
One Mother's Day, she was going to Northampton, Massachusetts, my hometown, and she called and asked if I could come down, but I couldn't because I had to work as a chauffeur that day. She said, damn it! She said, "What?" That's why we do live radio. She said, "What about your mom? Scary. It's Mother's Day." I said, "I'll call her or something." Well, Carole called me later in the day and told me to call my mom and have her meet Carole where she was speaking that day. My mom and Carole hung out for about 45 minutes on Mother's Day because Carole felt bad I couldn't see my mom. She's one of the nicest people ever.
You've got a friend.
Unlike you, who promised me a tie and never sent it. Send this guy a tie.
That's very nice.
Send him a tie.
Get the ties out.
I don't want to hear it. Just send him a tie. Matt Ryan, I'm going to cough again. Somebody cough.
Matty Ice.
Matt
Ryan.
Riding
into the show now.
M.R.
Was that
Matt
good
Ryan
cover?
In Scotia, New York.
Different
I had
guy.
My David Aldridge. I'm going to, you know what? I shouldn't have done the show.
It's, no, it's you're hard. Fine. You're fine. Fine. We're
take
making
a sip
it.
Of water.
I had my David
there.
Aldridge moment last weekend when referring to E Street Radio on Sirius XM Radio. I heard the familiar voice of Steve Sands, who was the participant in the Be the Boss segment, where fans get to play five of their favorite Bruce Springsteen songs. I yelled out, "I know this guy." My 12-year-old asked how that was possible, and I said he was a frequent guest on Mr. Tony's show and his family owned Calvert Woodley. I was hoping for a follow-up question, but he went right back to his phone. La Cheeserita Springsteen Nation. One more. And Frank Sicari in Troy, New York, which is upstate New York, right near Albany, right across the river from Albany, actually. Bonjour, old sport. Hoping you could give me some advice. I just got a new puppy. His name is Rigby, and he's a hunting breed. He appears to think I'm a sheep. My hands and ankles are covered in blood. You're the expert. Please help. I thought, with all the money we had paid to trainers, I thought we had cured Chessie of this problem. And at 5:45 this morning, I was a bloody mess because that dog decided it was time that I was the sheep again for the first time in a month or so. And she was ripping at her leash, which I don't like her to do. And I wanted to kick her in the head. I just let the leash go. I said, you're on your own. Get out. I'm Tony Kornheiser. If you're out on a bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Come on, man. What the hell are we even doing out here, man?